Dirty D, Shocker, an IcemanManiacs.com podcast exclusive.
Iceman Insights is going into
overtime.
What? Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is.
It's on like Donkey Kong.
Woohoo! Are you ready?
Yes!
I said, are you ready?
Jason Dale!
Daddy's too hot.
That's what she said.
First Circus, Steven Ricker's testicles. D-Buddy, broken penis. Vitaleri Filippula.
Use your big boy words.
La 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 la.
Who's the brains in this outfit? My point exactly.
That was totally wicked!
And now, overtime.
Yay.
Yep. So what are we doing? Drill in the mouth?
Drill in the mouth. The Toledo trip, you...
Love it. Love Toledo.
Really?
Absolutely love it.
So you had your family come?
Yep. Mom and Dad and Uncle Tom and Aunt Rose.
Really?
Yep. I didn't honestly think they would show up. And then I got a call and they said, "We're in town already." It's my mom voice.
Nice.
And I'm like, "What are you guys doing?" "We're at the casino." So they really didn't come down to see me. They actually went down to the casino. It was the last momentum that they needed to go to the casino. They picked me up. I got dinner. Dad's like, "Can you drink?" I'm like, "No, I can't drink. I got to do a broadcast." And so I ate dinner with them and ran over. And then my dad wanted to come in to the press box. I'm like, no, because unlike ours where we have individual booths, the press box area is communal, and then you have your separate box.
Ah.
So, and there's food up there and everything else. And my first trip to Toledo, I don't need my dad in there banging around and everything else. And I'm like, "Dad, you can't come in. You can come in after the game." "Oh, I'm leaving after the second period." Okay.
Did they really leave?
They left at the second period. And then they're banging on the press box glass because I'm right on the aisleway heading out. I'm like, "Okay, I'll see you guys later." And I go into the intermission show, and he's banging. He's like, "Derek! Derek, it's your dad! It's your dad!" And I'm like, waving at him. I'm like, "Yeah, we're six feet apart, and it's clear glass. Derek, it's your dad! We're leaving!" I'm like, "Oh, sweet Jesus." So, yeah, my parents came, and they're coming again.
That's the
December 14th game.
Wow.
Lucky me.
You can't wait. How far of a drive do they have?
Like an hour and 15 minutes.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Yeah. Huh. It's just down 75.
So, you told me, and I didn't get a chance to listen to that game, but you said that during the third period in that game, you actually did do the Cairo Kid promo.
I did the Cairo Kid promo. I haven't had time to bust it out again, but it goes, I carry all the promos with me, my on-air reads, and it's in the on-air read pile. So
nice.
It will probably get played during the teddy bear toss.
Nice.
You got five minutes to kill.
Yeah.
So, and there's only, you can only make the cleanup so exciting.
Yeah.
You know,
then you're just waiting for them to do it.
Yeah.
So, did you just print off the graphic, or did you actually retype the copy
I just I off your Imgur whatever that is thing website. I just printed it off.
Gotcha.
So that fine print is really tough to read. So it kind of leads to, you'll know when I'm on the fine print. Let's just put it that way.
You're struggling.
Yeah.
Well, what else is new? So, any thoughts about that arena? I've never been there.
No,
nice?
No Jumbotron in the middle. You got the two scoreboards on the end, but yeah, it is. Other than that, it is done up fantastic. Best place to call a game. Press box is at that luxury box level, so just off of the top row. But unlike South Carolina, you're not sitting in with the fans, and you've got your own booth. The glass on the side to deaden sound, and then a little bit of glass in the front, like 2 feet high, and then it's open. So you're open to see the ice and everything else and feel the air and smell the hot dogs and everything else. But it's soundproof on the side. So it's just It's top notch.
I'm drawing a blank. Does the Ford Center, is there glass on the front? Any glass on the front? Or is it
just a little bit. Same thing.
It's a little ledge,
but you're
a little glass.
A lot farther up, so you don't get quite the same feel as you do. Like, you just feel like, I mean, you're sitting in a luxury box. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. I cannot wait to go there. It's a cool downtown area. You got the Mudhens ballpark right there. There's museums. There's cool restaurants, Irish pubs and pizza places and everything else all around the hotel. And it's one of those, the nice setups when you walk from the hotel to the arena and back. So those are the best. You don't have to get on the bus and there's nothing by you. So, yep, I'm excited to go back.
That's cool. You think of... You kind of think of Toledo along the lines of Buffalo and Detroit and other Rust Belt cities along Lake Erie.
I like Detroit, too. I mean, that's probably why it doesn't bother me. It just reminds me of home. So, yeah, it's got the broken down buildings and the old factories that are abandoned. But
the heart of downtown is really cool.
Yep.
How far is the arena from the lake?
I didn't see the lake, so that I don't know.
A little farther away.
Yeah, but the river is right. You're right on the riverfront. So it feels a lot like Evansville.
Pretty
cool.
Like
the same distance from the Ford Center to the river is this stadium from the river.
Cool. So it's, I think they listed attendance at 8,000. Was it sold out?
Nope, I don't think it sold out. They expected to sell out, but I never heard it officially sold out. But it was packed in there. And it's tough to, it's one of the places, they only allow 10 free tickets for the team because they get great attendance there. And two, that's where all the family and everything else always come to, because you got so many Canadians, so they come over the border in Detroit and come down to Toledo, and from Detroit it's 30-minute drive.
Yeah.
So they could give away 30 tickets to a team every game because you got so many Canadians, you know, from the OHL
and
Quebec.
It's only a 3 or 4 hour drive from Toronto.
Yep, exactly. So it's packed, and they are a town that has just embraced the minor leagues with the AAA Toledo Mudhens and the hockey club. And I mean, they do TV. They do separate TV and radio at their home games. So, I mean, it's big time.
Yeah. Toledo's bigger than Evansville.
And yes.
I think it's even bigger than Fort Wayne. But it's one of those cities that's like right on that line between a major league size city and a minor league size city. And they're kind of at that high end of the minor leagues. And that's cool when you see a city like that embraces it as part of the culture. And hopefully we're on our way to doing that here with the Icemen.
That would be nice. It would be nice to do it with the Otters as well. I'd love to see the Otters get successful, and I'd love to see that ballpark packed out all the time.
Yeah, because when Bossy Field, for all of its antiquated problems, the feel of that stadium, when it's packed, there's nothing like it. It's so cool when you're out there and they've got 5,000 people crammed in every nook and cranny of that building. Yep. And it's amazing how loud it gets because of the roof over all of the seats. You don't get that anywhere else for baseball either. So
I have the broadcaster from the Evansville Otters being my first intermission guest at the Thursday night game.
Really?
Yep.
Why is that?
Because I always have a first intermission guest. And I tracked him down, and we follow each other on Twitters. And I said, you want to come out? And he said, I'd love to. So just part of the home shtick that I do.
Good stuff. In that game,
AKA fill 7 minutes that I don't have to give a bunch of useless stats.
So in that game, as you mentioned, the Walleye had their apparent first goal waved off because the net was off, and they more or less did their teddy bear toss anyway.
Yep.
How long did it take to clean it up?
About 5 minutes.
So then, when they actually did score their first goal, did more teddy bears fly on the ice?
And then at that point, it was just out of control, and every time they scored, more like animals left behind. The island of misfit toys got thrown out there, and at one point, I think some of the players are getting a little frustrated. I think some of the Walleye players thought the fans were showing up Evansville a little bit, maybe, because they threw one out, and the defenseman scooped it up on the blade of his stick and fired it right back into the crowd. That was on the fourth or fifth goal. Like,
here's
in
your
the
damn
third
teddy
period.
Bear.
Yeah, just so, yep. But it was pretty funny that everyone was screaming, no, stop, but there was no stopping it.
No. So the Gwinnett trip, you said you did not travel on the bus with the team. You drove down separately because you had a family get-together down there for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You said on live... on Iceman Live, the 6-hour drive took 9 hours because of the traffic.
Yep.
So my first thought, having a 2-year-old now, was 9 hours in the car,
Do you have any fun Ivy stories from the road
to
tell?
No, I don't think she's pretty, she's got it all figured out now. She's got a Nintendo DS for Christmas last year from Grammy. Mm. So she's pretty much self-sufficient back there. So I can't think of any
no getting
Ivy
restless
stories.
Or...
Nope, not too bad. Every once in a while she kicks the back of my seat. So
we're at that point where Evan likes doing that too.
Yeah. She keeps growing and growing, and she just has to stretch her legs, and she just has to stretch her legs right into the middle of my back. So, I can't think of any funny Ivy stories.
You need to start sending her behind Rebecca instead.
Yeah, I do that. But then you got to deal with two of them. Then Ivy does it, and Rebecca gets mad and
hits you.
It's all my fault. And Ivy's mad because Mom's yelling at her, and I got two upset princesses. And
not good.
No.
Gotcha.
That's why Daddy drinks so much.
So you said on Iceman Live also that Rebecca wore a dress that was the colors of the Gwinnett Gladiators.
Yep, well as my sister-in-law, Kim.
So they got shown on the scoreboard.
Yep.
My problem with that, and you said they ended up winning a gift certificate to Kroger or something, which is hilarious. But my problem with that whole story is, what are they doing wearing dresses to a hockey game? There's no dresses in hockey.
What?
You don't wear dresses to a hockey game. Soupy, have you ever worn a dress to a hockey game?
Yes, I have.
What about
you've
Chris
never gotten
Lemon?
That drunk? That's a kilt. There's a difference between a kilt and a dress. Just ask him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's totally. Yeah. Kilts are macho, right? That's what
you don't wear underwear under them. So,
well,
so that's the difference between a skirt and a kilt.
Yeah. You distract
no
the
panties.
You wear a kilt. You wear a kilt without underwear of the game, and then you distract the opposing team by showing them the old twig and berries. that's what you do. It's our secret weapon. And we talked about it off the air. Your brother Jake did color commentary on all three games in Gwinnett.
No, nope, only two. He didn't do Sunday.
Oh, he didn't. I didn't get to listen to any of Sunday.
Nope. He had to leave.
It is now clear who has all the talent.
Oh, there's no doubt. There's no doubt about that.
Were there any fun, Jake listens to this show, were there any fun stories that you can tell about anything that happened off the air with him in the press box?
What were some funny stories while we were in Gwinnett? Probably the funniest was that creepy Steven Rickard version of the arena MC. He was eccentric, and the girl said he was fantastic. They thought he was a lot of fun. So,
so define eccentric.
He wore all kinds of costumes and everything else. And
I'm guessing were sponsors because it was like the one that he kept coming out with was like the hairnet and Kroger.
See, I couldn't quite see it, but yeah, there was some Kroger stuff because he like did the Superman thing and pulled the shirt, and then there was the Kroger. Yeah. But just think Steven Rickard doing the same thing, you know, nice ice and everything else and giving away rings and what Steven Rickard does. Mm-hmm. But then at the end of it, Steven Rickard say, "Now let's get freaky," and start dancing. They play music in the arena, and he just starts dancing for 30 seconds every time.
Soupy says it was Steven Rickard with the Terry Ficarelli tan. There's a mental image for you, people.
So yeah, that's, yikes! But there was just some other moments where we took the headsets off and we're just laughing just because of some shenanigans happening in the arena. And probably the funniest thing was it's a tough sell down there, the hockey with all the football and Thanksgiving weekend. And that first game, there wasn't 250 people in that building, and when
And they announced
there
like
early.
2,900 or something.
Well, no, it was like 33,345, and I said they got the 345 correct. But, you know, we're there early for the pregame and everything else, and the family all came over. So there's who was down there? It was the Huffs and Anita Ice and Michelle Schuler and my family, and that's all that's in the building is all Iceman fan. And the Jumbotron is getting fired up, you know, so they're already practicing, so they're putting the camera. So our family is on the Jumbotron. My Ivy and my niece Elise are just dancing to all the songs, and they spent more time on the Jumbotron than half the game.
one of those nights. Didn't you say something about, like, before the game's over, everyone in the building will be on the Jumbotron once?
Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah.
The Friday night one was, it was a better crowd, but Thursday and Sunday were just bad.
That might be, given the weather and whatnot, that might be how our crowd is tomorrow night.
Yeah.
So you said you were up in the catwalk
yep.
above the, like, literally above the ice, or were along the edge of the ice looking
no,
down
you're,
over
we're
it?
Still at center ice, but you're so far up in all the light rigging and everything, mm-hmm. you couldn't see the, because there's no Jumbotron in the middle, I guess it doesn't matter, it's on both sides, but you mm-hmm. couldn't see it. You could only see bits and pieces of it. So they had to supply you a monitor to see
Jeez.
The score and play by, you know, the penalty clock and shots on net and everything else. So, and you had to look, you had to stand up and you had to look straight down.
Yeah, I heard you say that on live, and I was like, I couldn't do that. Yeah. I don't do heights.
I had to do.
I would.
Oh, really?
I would.
I did
myself.
Do it three at Saturday night or Friday night. My neck was sore.
I don't doubt that.
It's six periods, and you don't think about the weight of the headset. They're not that heavy. But just being in that position for something, and it's not 20 minutes. You know, a period goes 35 to 45 minutes, mm-hmm. especially when you're broadcasting a fracas afterwards or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was interesting. Great people, fantastic people. The broadcaster, David Foley, who's a fantastic guy, comped the whole entire family.
Really?
And I just asked him for, I said, is it, I said, first I sent him an email and said, do I qualify for a group rate? Like, man, I'm just looking to get a discount on the tickets. He's like, well, how much you got going on? And I said, well, you know, I got both families coming down because of the holidays and blah blah blah. And I said, man, if you just comp my wife and daughter, I'll pay for the rest of the tickets. It's not a problem. I understand. And comp the whole family for all the games.
How many people did you have in your gang total?
Nine.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, obviously, they didn't have a shortage of seats.
No.
But still, it's a really nice gesture.
There's not a lot of people buying those tickets either, so
yeah.
I had no problem spending $90 a game just to get the family in kind of thing. So, but nope, and treated us well and everything else. So, and I will find some way to repay him when they come back here. So,
any other thoughts about that arena?
Nice place. Nice place. Again, a lot like South Carolina. Interesting the similarities between South Carolina and Gwinnett, even on the ice. Very high-flying, finesse team. No one really expected any shenanigans after the brouhaha on Thursday because they're not built that way. They don't have a tough guy on the team. So,
whereas half of our team is.
Yeah. But the same thing where they had the one area of the arena that's open with glass that overlooks on the second level overlooks the scenic view, and you can buy your food up there and everything else. And I text Bill Nadeau every place I visit, the rink manager from Swander Ice Arena, but every place I have gone has fantastic beer on tap. This one had Yingling and Fat Tire on tap. So Cincinnati has, Toledo has a microbrewery that you can buy craft beers in bottles at one of their bars, and they have Molson Canadian on tap. Toledo and Cincinnati, or Kalamazoo and Cincinnati, have Labatt Blue on tap.
So there's Molson on tap in Georgia?
No, in Cincy.
Oh, in Cincy.
It was Yingling.
And Fat Tire.
Yep, and Fat Tire.
I think the Spanish of Fat Tire should have been one of Soupy's luchador names.
What's that? Grande, Tire Grande or something like that?
I don't know.
I still like the Cerveza Bandit myself. Cerveza Bandito!
So when
fantastic place, and again, it's another one of those situations where the hotel's right there, and you walk over, and that whole structure—it's the Gwinnett Center, and it's a lot like Evansville, where you have the Victory and
the center
and the Ford Center. That whole complex is the same. They got a man-made lake there. They've got a bridge over it, a walking bridge over it. They got a balcony and everything else. It's just a fantastic area. I actually went out. I couldn't sleep Saturday night. I had to do a bunch of work to get ready for the game and everything else. So I just went out around midnight and just walked around, and it's just beautiful down there.
It's
so it
in
really
Duluth, cool. Georgia, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it is Duluth, Georgia, and it's Gwinnett County.
Right. And it's about, what, a half hour northeast of Atlanta?
Yeah.
Somewhere around there?
Yep.
So Wednesday, you did not end up doing an amusement park live on the road last week. I presume you were you driving down on Wednesday? Is that when you drove down?
Yep.
So that kind of nixed that.
Left around noon. And we got in about 9 o'clock, which, and then we lost the hour, so it was actually 10 o'clock. So,
well, at least you avoided rush hour in the Atlanta metro area.
No, we didn't. That's why it took 9 hours.
Yeah. It just wasn't the afternoon rush hour. It was all day long rush hour.
I don't know what the difference is. It was 4 lanes backed up with taillights.
Yeah. That's been my experience driving through Atlanta.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Though, that's the one thing about going to Augusta to visit my brother or going to Gwinnett is you don't have to go through Atlanta because you hit the 285 bypass about 15 miles out, and that makes all the difference. But it still was a nightmare.
You said traffic was also terrible in and around Nashville. Did you just go straight through on 24?
Yep. Yeah, I take 24 all the way down to 75, yeah. 75 to 285.
See,
yep.
I learned that the first time I ever drove into Nashville, I learned to avoid 24 through downtown at all costs because when it combines with 65, it's a mess. So I take the Briley Parkway around town.
Oh, do you? Yeah. We've talked about doing that.
It's wonderful.
Is it?
There's like nothing around it. I don't know that it goes all the way around to 24, but it gets close enough.
It does, because Rebecca has brought it up before, because we see it when we like say, ha-ha, the Briley Parkway, and then we go through and then not the other side, and we say, ha-ha, the Briley Parkway. And we've actually talked about timing it, using that as a timing method when we cross the 2 points, to judge how bad traffic was.
Yeah, it gets really bad. That conglomeration of highways through downtown Nashville is just terrible, especially in the afternoon on a weekday. I think the first time I went down there, I went down for a Preds game on a Friday afternoon and got there at like 5:30, and it was just insane.
Yep.
But then thereafter, I started doing research to try to find alternate ways to get into downtown and discover the Briley Parkway, and it's awesome. And it goes all the way around the east side, and it takes you over by Opry Mills and everything. Mm-hmm. It's a really cool area over there. So
I will do that next time
for sure. Definitely recommend that. So the Thanksgiving Day game, we were actually coming back from Thanksgiving with the family and were tuned in and listening. Game was supposed to start at 5:05 Central Time, and you didn't go on air until 5:04 Central Time. What happened there?
Ian Frazier screwed everything up and posted the wrong time on the website. WEOA used the Evansville-Iceman website that said 6:05, so they scheduled their operator to show up at 5:20, because I usually call 15 minutes in early before the pregame show.
Mm.
So I was texting the boss man at WEOA, and I think he had to push himself away from leftovers or family time or whatever to get it all set up.
Aha.
Yep. And then I got a nasty email.
Yeah, I noticed all three of the Gwinnett games were listed on the website as being 6:05 Central Daylight Time.
Frazier. That's all I got to say.
So does that explain on Sunday that the game was joined in progress at 2:30 or so due to a scheduling conflict?
Yeah, they were expecting 6:05, and they do a lot of outreach in the community, and Sunday is a big church day on WEOA if you've ever listened to it, or like I have done, listened to the game Saturday night and then gotten home, listened to the pregame show when you drive home, and you get up Sunday morning and you head out, and it's still your radio's still on WEOA, so you hear all the churches and everything else. Well, they had sold some airtime. I don't know if they sold or gave it away, but some local area pastors wanted some hour slots, and so they said, "Yeah, we don't have to do a hockey game until 5:35." So, and they were pretty frustrated. I've always told the boss man over there, Ed Lander, who's just fantastic to work with. I said, "We will survive. If you got to preempt us, you got to preempt us." And that was more talking about like Indiana basketball.
Yeah.
I said, if no one is going to die if we miss a pregame show. No one is going to die if we miss the first 5 minutes of the first period of a hockey game to finish an Indiana Hoosier basketball game that's coming down to a last second shot. I said, preempt us. I understand. That's part of partnership there. So, and this is our fault. This was our scheduling fault on our website. We gave the wrong information to the radio station. So he's like, there's no way I can go back to a pastor on Thanksgiving. He said, one, I'm not calling any pastors on Thanksgiving. And I can't call them on Friday to say that the sermons that they prepared to go on air on Sunday they can no longer do because you guys screwed up and told me the wrong times. So
yeah, I can see that.
Yep. So I said, just tell me when you want me to go on the air.
So 2:30 it was.
Yep.
So, any other things? How did you spend your Saturday? You said you did a lot of work on Saturday, the day
Saturday
of the off
evening
day.
I did. Saturday we just got up and just did family time and the whole thing and went for a walk. We went to the arena. We went to the arena every day. The whole family walked over together and watched the pregame skate, and the kids got to talk to some of the Icemen and everything else. And then just ate lunch and goofed off and did what we do. So
cool.
Just Benigni stuff.
Benigni family vacation.
Yep.
That should be a movie.
Yeah, could be. Be pretty lame, though. It's just a lot of watching the Leafs and playing Star Wars tabletop aerial battle games.
And
so.
Ghetto hockey with anything you can find.
There's parking lots everywhere. I thought, man, if we had enough room, we could have packed the nets and we could have played street hockey. That would have been fantastic until we got the Iceman out there and then one of them got hurt.
Yeah,
then we had to face Coach.
Contribute to the man games lost yep. count. So anything else about the Gwinnett trip worth sharing?
No, just a lot of fun, and people treated us well, and even the girls said that all the people were super nice to them and everything else, so they had a lot of fun, and it was a good time. Time was had by. Oh, yes, I do have one other thing. Maximus, this crazy, freaky-looking Bullwinkle-esque mascot.
Maximus?
Maximus, because they're the gladiators. And the kids' club is called Club Minimus. So you have Maximus and Club Minimus. But they really play up the whole gladiator theme, and they've got movie clips from the gladiator and everything else playing on the Jumbotron, and they do thumbs up, thumbs down.
Isn't Minimus your adult film name?
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, exactly. But
that totally derailed you.
Yeah. But I didn't get to see him, but Rebecca said he blows away Cold Stone Blizzard.
Really?
Yeah, just his flexibility. He's a guy that, and nothing against Cold Stone Blizzard, but he would run across the chairs, run across the rows, and just had amazing talent in that mascot suit.
Hmm.
And Rebecca said that he was fantastic. So, but yeah, all the kids had fun. It was really cool. One nephew stayed down and watched the games, and one came up to the catwalk with me to help me set everything up and everything else. He's the oldest one, Gavin, came with me to the locker rooms to interview Coach and interview Patafi and Josh Beaulieu. And of course, Coach is, I mean, he's top-notch. So he introduced himself and talked to Gavin a little bit about hockey and everything else. So it was pretty cool. So it was cool to have the kids around the guys and vice versa. Oh, and then we all there's nine of us, so we all come in for the first pregame skate,
mm-hmm.
and Coach has all the players out at center ice, and they all turned and waved and yelled Benigni.
Good stuff.
So, yep.
So you mentioned on live that you were going to ride back on the bus with the team, but then you ended up having to drive because Rebecca got sick.
Yep, she got so sick on Saturday. The family left and everything else, and she came down with the flu and just couldn't even move. So I had this plan of just sitting on the bus after three games and 4 days and just watching football on the satellite dish and just zoning out, and nope, I had to drive through the traffic all the way home. I was beat.
Was it worse on Sunday than it was on?
No, it was better, but only by about an hour.
Not by a whole lot.
By the time we hit Nashville at 9:10 o'clock in the evening on Sunday night, yeah, there wasn't that much traffic.
Mm.
So, but at that point, I was whooped too.
I would imagine so. So, next bullet in the drilling the mouth is entitled Feeling Nipples.
Wow.
Because the weekend before Thanksgiving, I posted on Facebook on my personal page that I had just mowed the lawn when it was 34 degrees with a wind chill of 25.
Yeah.
And that as a result, I was fairly certain that I wouldn't be able to feel my nipples again until spring. And your response was, quote, "I can feel your nipples at the next Iceman Insights."
I think I got some likes on that one, too.
I think you did.
Yeah, that was a good one by me. So, I was proud of myself.
So I'm calling your bluff. Come on. Bring it on.
There we go. Yep, Soupy. That
Soupy
did
was
just
witness
happen.
That, yes. Yes, yeah. Yes, it just happened.
It's not sexual assault if it's in overtime.
You know, I said you said you could feel my nipples, plural. You only felt one of them.
I squeezed it twice, though.
Yeah, but the other one's feeling jealous.
Wow, somebody is wants a little Minimus up in them.
Very nice.
Tying up some loose ends.
That makes that next heading a little innuendo-y.
Innuendo-y?
Innuendo-y? Is that how they pronounce Beaulieu in Gwinnett?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That was awesome. Beaulieu.
Yeah. Beaulieu-tiful.
Beaulieu-tiful.
You should use Beaulieu-tiful for when he scores a goal.
That's Are you kidding? Then I'll have more people texting me, tweeting me, correcting me on Facebook. No.
So, okay, so this is where I mentioned in the tease that I was going to throw you under the bus not once but twice. So the first time I'm throwing you under the bus, this is a follow-up to episode 203.
What was that? June of last year.
In the overtime segment, we discussed the – we were talking about Seth Jones, the great rookie defenseman for the Nashville Predators. We were talking about the difficulty of a 19-year-old, or any player really, who is right-handed playing defense, shifting from right D to left D. And I said it was not easy, but you said it was easy. So, to retort, not out of my mouth, guy that has never played professional hockey, let's go to someone who has a little more clout. On the 22nd of November, the Sporting News published a lengthy feature story about Seth Jones, and in it, there were quotes from Cody Franzen, a defenseman for your beloved Toronto Maple Leafs.
My beloved Toronto Maple Leafs.
Who also happens to be a right-handed defenseman.
Yep.
So, in it, they were talking about Seth Jones shifting from right to left, and Cody said that he had done the same thing under former Leafs coach Ron Wilson. And this is a direct quote from the Sporting News that basically says that you saying it's easy is bunk. Quote, "It was a nightmare. It was no man's land. It makes everything more difficult. When you're playing that offside, you're skating up the wall with your backhand to the middle of the ice, so anything you want to do cross ice is difficult. You have to move the puck from your backhand to the forehand, so you're passing the puck from behind you. Picking pucks up along the wall in the offensive zone, you're on your backhand, and you have to move it to your forehand before you can shoot, and it takes longer. It's very difficult to do, but he," referring to Jones, "seems comfortable." End quote. So
what's the problem there? So Cody Franzen is not a good defenseman. And it isn't easy for him to do. Some guys can do it, some guys can't. I've never had a problem with it. What he's saying is true. It is different, but you adjust.
But you think it was difficult for Franzen because he's not as talented as Seth Jones.
Or me.
Or you.
Yes.
So you're better than Cody Franzen, defenseman for your beloved Toronto Maple Leafs.
I am better in the league that I play in.
Oh, relative to the competition.
Than Cody Franzen is in the league that he plays in. So, but I think he proved it. Seth Jones, a righty moving to right D. DB said it's easy. And what did Franzen say? It's very difficult to do. But Jones seems to be comfortable. So it must be easy. So I think I'm right. I don't know what the problem is. I will trade Cody Franzen for Seth Jones in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Now, some guys can do it. Some guys can't. Some guys have to play off.
Yeah.
So
ideally, you have three right-handed defensemen and three left-handed defensemen, and it always works out.
Well, no. Ideally, you have six really good defensemen, and it doesn't matter. Yeah,
that's true. Okay, second thing I'm throwing you under the bus for. This is a follow-up to Iceman Live.
The first one, obviously, you were wrong on.
Yeah.
So go ahead, try this one.
Iceman Live on the 25th. You keep talking about how I steal stuff from Iceman Live, but how can you explain this? On November 18th, a full week before that Iceman Live, I posted on the Asylum on Facebook, "I think it's safe to say that Pyle has found something good with the Lowry-Shepke-Seidel line, thus the line needs a name. Since all three of their first names start with M, maybe M&M's ideas. It spawned a long discussion. Soupy took part. Others took part in suggesting names for the Shepke, Lowry, Seidel line, including my own suggestion, M&M's. So then, on the Iceman Live, a full week later, Matt Shepke is one of the guests, and you suggest to him that his line with Lowry and Seidel has been good and needs a name, and even suggested the M&M's line.
No. I said M&M.
M&M as in the rapper?
Yes. And I even brought up 8 Mile, the soundtrack from the movie 8 Mile. I can play it for you because I got that one taped.
Really?
Yep.
Well, I could hear it better on tape than I can hear it live in the building.
Exactly.
But
No, I
the
said
point still stands. You stole my question about giving that line a name, and
no,
a week after I brought it
up. I'm all about giving names to lines. Always have been, ever since the Legion of Doom. Ever since the production line back in the 50s, baby.
That reminds me.
We need names for these lines.
I agree. I remember, it reminds me, I saw a week or two ago there was a story talking about the St. Louis Blues and how the top line of David Backes, TJ Oshie, and Alexander Steen has been playing so well.
Uh-huh.
Backes was a B, Oshie is an O. Steen is an S, so people are starting to call it the SOB line.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think the best one was Thomas Hertl, Brent Burns, and Joe Thornton. After Thomas Hertl had the four-goal game, and to which Joe Thornton said that he was going to whip out his
junk
taters.
If he ever had a four-goal game.
And so someone came up with a line, and Brent Burns, have you seen a picture of him lately?
Uh-huh.
So Hertl, Thornton, and
the beard.
Brent Burns were going to be Tom, Dick, and Harry.
That is awesome.
Yep. That was one of Pension Plan Puppets, which is one of the fan base blog sites, mm-hmm. and they put it out there. What are we going to call the Hertl Thornton Hertl Thornton Burns line? And the very next tweet in response was Tom, Dick, and Harry.
And everyone
busted out laughing, and they said, well, guess that's
That's over. Conversation ended. Yep.
So, yes, both of you are throwing me under the bus is incorrect.
All right, well, we'll move on.
No, I will be honest and say I don't read a lot of your posts on Facebook because they're so friggin' long.
I have a bad habit of being too long.
I didn't even read to the point where you brought up M&Ms. So I did see the Lowry Shepke Seidel line. I saw you bring that up. But I was going more for the Matt Shepke, who is Warren, Michigan born, which is 5 minutes away from Sterling Heights, which is just down that he's Warren, Michigan's 13 mile. Sterling Heights is 18 mile, and 8 mile is 8 mile. So that's what. And earlier, the first Iceman Live that I did, that Matt Shepke was my first ever guest on. No, second Iceman Live I did, Shepke was a guest. And I asked him if he was a, who's the country rock nasty dude? Kid Rock.
Kid Rock, yeah.
I asked him if he was a Kid Rock guy or an Eminem guy, because they're both that area with us origins. So
it was funny. I was at a Preds Red Wings game in Nashville several years ago, and Kid Rock from Detroit, but now lives in Nashville because he's doing kind of the country rock thing. So he lives in Nashville, and he went to the Preds Red Wings game, and they found him on the Jumbotron, and they zoomed in at first and showed just his face, and hey, it's Kid Rock, and the crowd all cheered, and then they zoomed out, and you could see he was wearing a Red Wings jersey, and the cheers immediately went to boos. It was awesome.
That's, you gotta represent, there's no doubt.
Yeah. So,
this is a beauty.
Yeah. Also following up on this week's Iceman Live, Lauren Barron was one of the guests, and you brought up the Red Baron nickname that I had suggested, and he shot it down.
Yeah, because it sucks. I told you that when you brought it up before.
Come on, man.
It sucks.
It's better than the Weatherman.
It is better than the Weatherman, but it still is in Suckville. Did you hear what went over well? Lord Bartis.
That's pretty good. I like Lord Bartis.
Again, that's a brother. You brought it up earlier, all the talent in the family.
Good stuff. Lord Bartis and your Minimus.
Yes.
I hope that sticks.
What's that, Minimus?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. We'll see how Facebook explodes after
this
conversation. I did mention when you brought up Insights without mentioning it by name that there was some applause in the crowd.
Yeah, I was really impressed with my whole, there's this amateur hack guy and he's got his Wednesday show. So
I thought you were talking about yourself.
No, I was talking about you. But I was guilty by association, obviously.
Yeah.
But I was
pleasantly surprised to hear the crowd applaud. That was nice.
Well, there was only 19 people there.
And
everyone we know. So, yeah, it was kind of...
Outsiders don't have to know that.
Yeah, it's like the minister turning around to preach to the choir.
Yeah.
Oh, where have our third jerseys gone?
Yes, as originally mentioned 2 weeks ago on our podcast exclusive show and then teased during the on-air portion of this show an hour and a half ago,
There's a blog called Aesthetics that is a great blog about NHL and hockey in general, jerseys, logos, colors, and stuff, all the graphic design type of elements of the game of hockey. It's Aesthetics, Aesthetics. There's actually a link to it on IcemanManiacs.com. I love that blog. They recently posted a jersey gallery for the ECHL. The league now uses CCM as the jersey provider for all the teams. And they posted what looks to be a very official jersey gallery from CCM. And some people shared it on the Asylum. Might have been Stacey Kirkenheimer Schmidt that shared it. And immediately people started noticing that our baby blue third jersey was not part of that graphic, but the graphic did include third jerseys for other teams. So you promised a big reveal here, so you better not disappoint.
Has
the third jersey been retired? What's up with that?
The full Monte on this one is we have this little segment called Skating Down Memory Lane, suggested by Johnny Kells.
Yes.
And so we will do Skating Down Memory Lane Part 2.
Part 2.
Yeah, the other side of the road. Many, many moons ago, we brought to town the CHL and the Muskegon Lumberjacks. We bought their franchise, and this was back before Facebook. This was when Maniacs Asylum was a forum on, what was that, Youku?
It was the Maniac Message Board, what it is now.
Yeah. On Youku, but that's where everyone went to talk and discuss and everything else. And I'm not sure if it was Soupy or not, but we had the big reveal of our new jerseys. Mm-hmm. And I remember it at Swander, and it was a media event. Media release, and only Randy Beard showed up. And the rest of us, the fan base, as it always has been, and no one clapped. For everyone kind of gave the golf clap to the jerseys, and then somebody went on the forum and posted a picture of the West Michigan Blizzards jersey from the AHA, and our new jerseys, which the West Michigan Blizzard played in the same building as the Muskegon Lumberjacks.
Correct.
So obviously the coaching staff and everything else that we brought from Muskegon had seen these jerseys, which we basically ripped off.
They were also ripoffs of the Penguins Winter Classic jerseys.
Yes, and it favored baby blue. And baby blue is you either like it or you're heterosexual. And,
tell us how you really feel.
It's just bad jersey. I've never liked it. And I've never liked our logo either. But,
I'm with you 100%.
Especially the Brian Bisek logo thingamajig.
I don't like the logo. I don't like the name. And I don't like the jerseys. But I love the team anyway.
So we hire Coach Jeff Pyle. And he comes to town. And one of the first things he says is, I can't bleepin' stand the bleepin' color bleepin' baby blue. Expletives deleted. And so they haven't officially been retired. But you have a coach that cannot absolutely stand baby blue.
So he's in agreement with you about the color.
Obviously, he takes his cues from me.
Well, yeah.
I'm kind of his boss.
Of course.
And which is why I keep forwarding him emails from Russian players that want to immigrate to America.
Right. You tell him what to do, and he ignores you.
Exactly. But so have they been retired? No. Will we see them this year? I don't. No.
Do they even exist?
Yeah, they exist. They're still around. Yeah. Because they're from last year. We have the same jerseys from last year. So they're still around, but you got a coach that really doesn't like them, and the coach has to tell the equipment manager, hey, really thought we would wear them because Orlando packed whites and darks because we had our Veterans Night game and we were wearing the dark jersey, so we weren't wearing our home whites. So I had ventured to wonder, did Orlando just pack the whites, so the Friday nights we would wear the baby blues, the third jersey, and then Saturday we would wear the camouflage jerseys.
Right.
But nope, we came out there in our home whites and they wore their black, so they packed two jerseys for the trip, and so I don't think we'll ever see it. The other one is, We got new jerseys coming next year, and it's a new color scheme.
Is there anything more you can tell about that revealing on the air?
There's no bleeping baby blue bleeping in any of the jersey.
Is there any change to the logo coming, or is it just the jerseys?
Just the jersey colors.
So will we see a return to black?
Black is a good color.
Black is a good color.
Yes.
Is black a better color than navy blue, pray tell?
I think there may be some navy blue in it, too. I honestly can't remember what the jersey is right now. But I can tell you there's no baby blue ever.
So the new design has already been chosen.
It had to be turned in September 15th or something like that for the following year to get it all approved through CCM and the ECHL and the affiliates and blah, 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 blah. So
the affiliates have a say even?
No, I don't know. I just meant the powers that be have to have a whole year before we get it. But we are changing our jerseys for next year.
So will there be a third jersey, or will we just have one dark
and remember.
One light?
Sorry. I'll have to try and dig it up.
I wonder, has there been any talk, have you heard anything or seen anything about putting the Blue Jackets logo on the shoulder if we're still affiliated with them? A lot of ECHL teams have their affiliates logos on the shoulder patch.
Do they?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know, actually, now that I think about it. A lot of AHL teams do.
Yeah.
But I don't know if...
Because the AHLs are usually pretty locked in.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're in long-term
Some of them
deals.
Are owned by their NHL parent clubs.
Yeah, so, but I don't know. Gwinnett was pretty cool because they are a farm club for Phoenix, and Phoenix has that southwestern kind of, they used to have it on their jersey, that design that they put around the waistband of the jersey, and they've actually incorporated that into their ribbon in their at their arena.
The ribbon board.
Yeah, and on the jerseys and everything else. So, in fact, they've taken that Phoenix maroon kind of color as part of their jerseys. So I thought that was pretty cool. But I think Columbus Springfield's more of a wait-and-see kind of thing. Mm-hmm. They wanted to do a longer-term deal with us. Pyle said, let's just do 1 year and see how it works out. So we'll wait and see how that all shapes out.
We'll just beat to our own drum or jersey-wise and whatever happens with the affiliation.
I think
happens.
We are doing something with the affiliations for New Year's Eve jersey. It's
really
pretty cool. Yeah.
Huh.
And I'm not exactly sure. There's been some confusion on that as well. But we'll.
Is that the next jersey auction?
Yeah, I believe so. Cool. Yep. New Year's Eve.
Good stuff.
Yep.
Anything else on the jersey front?
There will be no bleeping baby blue bleeping on the new jersey.
Good stuff. I hope that we return to black as the primary dark jersey because I think black just works really well.
There'll be black in it, and the biggest problem is if you don't have black in it, you can't wear black pants and black helmets and black gloves because it doesn't match. And when you have navy blue, then when you do specialty jerseys, it's
really
hard
bad.
To match the navy blue pants to whatever specialty jersey you're doing. So you do like the black Harley Davidson jerseys that were awesome, even though they looked a little bit like Fort Wayne Comet suck.
Yeah.
But then the boys are still wearing navy blue and navy blue helmets, and it just doesn't.
Yeah.
The jersey's awesome, but the game look doesn't look right.
Yeah.
So
black goes with everything.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree. And I just think it's a cool look. I think there was this wave. It seemed like in the 90s, there was this wave where everyone went to black jerseys.
Yep.
And then there was like this backlash where everybody said, hey, wait, everybody's doing black jerseys. Let's change. And then there was this big movement away from using black jerseys. And it's kind of been this taboo thing. But I've always liked the black. I think it looks great. And what I've never understood, and when the Iceman did reveal the current jersey suite, Aesthetics had an entry about it. They actually blogged about the new jerseys when they were announced. And they said one of the cardinal errors in the design of jerseys is when there are colors in your logo that are not incorporated anyway in your, primary colors in your logo that aren't part of your jerseys. And the current Iceman logo has a lot of black in it and a lot of gray in it. And neither one of those colors are in any of our jerseys.
Yeah.
So, I think going back to black, keep the logo as it is, but go back to black. I think it'll be a much nicer look.
Yeah. And Soupy's wearing my favorite jersey of all time.
The white one with the...
Yep, the white with the black Evansville spelled out from right shoulder down to left hip is my favorite. And my second favorite one was the away jersey where we had the skyline.
Yeah.
And
I really like that. I think that's the best black jersey we've ever had.
So those are my two favorites, and nothing else compares to them.
Yeah, I would be very happy if the black if we went back to a black jersey that was that Skyline jersey just with the new logo.
Yep. We're not.
That's unfortunate.
But I wish.
I think it would look.
Main
look
gate,
really cool.
Check out the main gate. You'll have to walk around to the other side from where you sit in the arena because I think it's on the asylum, right in front of the asylum. Mm-hmm. But the main gate dasher board logo is the Skyline, and it says main gate just a slap shot away, and it's a fantastic logo. And Ross, the equipment manager, came up with that one.
Cool.
So, but I've always liked the city skyline silhouettes on things, and we have a pretty cool definitive skyline here in Evansville with the river, and I just always liked that look.
Yeah. I thought when that jersey was first revealed, I thought, wow, that's a really cool jersey for a first jersey. It's a shame we ripped off the logo from a youth team in New York, but the jersey was awesome.
So can we get to this last segment here?
Yes.
Can I just leave?
So this is called Jolly Rogers because we're going to talk about the Canadian TV deal for the NHL. So if you really don't care, you can tune out, I guess. But there are some things in this. You know, this was not all that well publicized or fully understood here south of the border, but the Canadian TV deal is a huge deal.
Is that because
deal.
It wasn't in sporting news?
Yeah.
There's this thing
it
called
didn't prove
TSN,
you wrong.
Buddy.
So it really does matter, this Canadian deal, because it's enormous financially. For those just kind of a Canadian TV 101, the CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, is a commercial broadcast network like CBS, but they're partially government-funded, but they do air ads just like CBS and ABC and NBC. Since 1952, CBC has aired Hockey Night in Canada, the famous Saturday night broadcast. It's an exclusive NHL doubleheader. That's where Don Cherry is.
Coach's Corner.
Yes. And it's an institution in Canada. It's one of the most watched things on Canadian television every week. TSN, which is the sports network, is a cable sports channel, essentially Canada's version of ESPN, even has Sports Center, spelled R-E-E-S-P-N.
It's owned by ESPN.
Yes, ESPN has a 20% stake in TSN. They also have TSN2, which is similar to ESPN2, and TSN.ca, if you're ever looking for NHL coverage, TSN.ca is one of the best places on the web to go for NHL coverage, at least for now. They have had the primary national NHL rights other than Hockey Night in Canada since 2002. The third player in this game is Rogers Communications, which is a massive conglomerate in cable, internet, phone, wireless. Their broadcasting subsidiary is called Rogers Media. They own the Toronto Blue Jays, the Rogers Centre, formerly Sky Dome in Toronto. They also have the naming rights to the Rogers Arena in Vancouver, the home of the Canucks. That was the... It used to be General Motors Place and was called Canada Hockey Place during the Olympics. So that's
they also own the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yes, Maple Leafs Sports and Entertainment and all that is all, yeah. So that's all tied in. That's people in America probably have heard the Rogers name here and there because of the buildings, probably more than anything. But in Canada, that is an enormous business. They are the number one cable company in Canada and the number one wireless communications company. So it's basically like, and when you factor in Rogers Media, it's basically like one company has Comcast, Verizon, and all of the Fox Sports TV channels, all under the same umbrella. So it's a massive company, but until...
And the Yankees.
Yeah, exactly. So until now, they haven't had a ton of big-time sports rights for their TV channels. They have regional channels called Sportsnet that are... similar to Fox Sports Net in the U.S., like Fox Sports Midwest here. Then they have Sportsnet 1, which is a national cable channel like Fox Sports 1. And then they have Sportsnet 360, which is kind of a news and alternative sports programming show. They show like WWE and UFC in addition to sports highlights. So that's their outlets. Up until now, though, they've only had regional NHL coverage. They do have some Major League Baseball, including the Blue Jays. Some NFL, IndyCar, and they do some Major Junior and all of the Memorial Cup games in the Canadian Hockey League, the Major Junior games. But they have not been a major player as far as the NHL goes until now. The new deal starts next season, runs through 2025-26. TSN loses the NHL altogether, and the end is near for the CBC, too. Rogers gets exclusive national television rights, a 12-year deal worth $5.2 billion, that's with a B, Canadian, which is about $4.9 billion American.
It is the richest sports media contract in the history of Canadian television. For comparison, in the U.S., NBC's recent 10-year extension with the NHL for the U.S. broadcast rights was only worth $2 billion. So this is 2.5 times as big as the U.S. package.
Right, because that, Rogers is actually going to air some games.
Yeah, yeah. No good.
NBC that aired their first one of the season.
Yeah, and otherwise
Friday.
And otherwise they bury everything
Friday
on
at
NBC.
2 o'clock.
Right. They bury everything else on NBC Sports Network, which still is not on basic cable in a lot of places, including my house.
Yep.
So TSN had been paying just $40 million a season for the main national cable rights, which, if you extrapolate that over 12 years, is only, quote-unquote, $480 million, which is a far cry from $5.2
billion. Right, but they didn't get the big CBC games,
right,
though,
exactly. And TSN was not willing to pay anywhere near what Rogers offered, and the CBC was not in a position to do so either. So Rogers now controls it all. They control the Hockey Night in Canada brand. CBC will retain Hockey Night in Canada and the Cup Finals for the next four seasons, but after that it likely will shift over to Rogers channels. And during the 4 years that CBC still keeps Hockey Night in Canada, Rogers will produce all the broadcast. They have 100% creative and editorial control, including the selection of on-air talent. And the CBC does not get any ad revenue. Rogers gets 100% of the ad revenue from the Hockey Night in Canada broadcasts. And to put that in perspective, the CBC was making about $175 million a year on ads from Hockey Night in Canada, which was about half of all of their broadcasting revenue. So that's a lot of money that the CBC is losing.
I think the other half was coming from Murdoch Mysteries. Have you ever seen that show?
No,
it's
I have
super
not.
Good. It is super
what
good.
About Due South? Did they have Due South? Wasn't that on there?
No, I don't know. But Murdoch Mysteries is a really
I'm
good
still
show.
Still waiting for Wayne's
Check it out on Netflix.
Wayne's World should go in there. So anyway, while the CBC will not get ad revenue from this deal, they do not have to pay any rights fees to Rogers for keeping Hockey Night in Canada in some way, shape, or form for the next 4 years. They have been paying $121 million annually, but continuing under the same general structure of who got what, the estimate was that they would have had to pay about $175 to $200 million a year, which if they're only bringing in $175 million a year on ads, that would mean they probably would have to go into the red just to keep the rights, and that doesn't even account for what they would have paid to produce the broadcasts.
You don't have to look at me. I've gone into Charlie Brown mode.
Yeah,
wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah.
Anyway, it's just 4 years that the CBC keeps Hockey Night in Canada, and it all in intents and purposes, it sounds like after those 4 years, Rogers is going to take it all over completely. So there will be no more NHL on TSN and no more Hockey Night in Canada on CBC. Rogers does have the Hockey Night in Canada brand name. They will control it going forward, so they'll probably just use it on their own broadcasts. To put this into perspective as far as the U.S. equivalent, it's hard to imagine really a scenario that would be like this. But the closest thing I could come up with is imagine if NBC had Sunday Night Football and the Super Bowl, and then ESPN had all of the other NFL TV rights. And then, out of the blue, Fox Sports comes in, outbids them both for everything. ESPN loses all the NFL. NBC keeps Sunday Night Football and the Super Bowl for 4 years, but Fox Sports has total control over it, gets all the money from it, and then after the 4 years takes the broadcast outright. That would basically be what it would be, that you'd have a third party coming in and just taking over all of the NFL stuff in the States. Is really the only comparison you can make to how big this is in Canada. So it's a big deal in Canada, but the question that I'm getting to with all this exposition that you've already toned out is, what does this mean for fans on both sides of the border? The biggest thing to me is the spike in revenue means more money via revenue sharing for the struggling teams, but the salary cap and the salary floor are also going to go up. The cap is currently at $64.3 million. The floor is $44 million. The projections that I've seen from the Canadian media is that by the end of the current CBA, the cap will skyrocket to $90 million, maybe even higher, and the floor will be where the cap is now at about $65 million.
Lockout.
Yep.
we have to get these salaries
under control.
Control,
right.
And nothing that the players have done has affected any of this.
Yeah.
It's asinine.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy.
So I got a question for you.
Okay.
In all of that explanation about the third, you know, not NBC or ESPN, but a third company coming in and buying everything for $5.2 million, and it's hard for us as Americans to even understand that concept, and still a right-handed defenseman cannot switch to the left side of the ice.
Correct. According to Cody Franzen from your beloved Toronto Maple Leafs.
And you.
I'm not saying it can't be done. I'm just saying it's not easy. That was my whole point. It can be done. It's just not easy. And you said it was easy.
It's easy for me. It's a lot easier than this.
So the next thing is TSN has an army of on-air talent that is going to be out of jobs. They're going to be looking, I would guess, a lot of them will probably go over to Rogers, but some of them might find their way to the States, and if they do, it should make the coverage here in the U.S. better. One name that has popped up a lot already is Ray Ferraro, Chicken Parm, currently works for TSN and should be on everyone's radar, and the popular opinion is that NBC should throw a lot of money at him to try to get him to come and hopefully, in my opinion, supplant Pierre McGuire.
That job, I would like to see him surplant
Milbury.
Milbury.
I don't like Milbury either. So I'd be fine with that. Up north of the border, Canadian viewers will get a lot more hockey. They're doing new national broadcasts on Sunday and Wednesday nights, and the way they outline it is they could have five or six games on TV in any given place at the same time, which would be awesome. That's like a dream come true for a hockey fan. But the worry is about quality. While quantity will go up, Rogers' production values and their on-air talent are way inferior to TSN from everything I've seen. And the worry is that without any competition, there's no incentive for them to improve anything, which I guess once you've paid $5 billion, how much money do you have left to really pour into improving things? But one thing that I thought was cool is Rogers said they're going to add a new show called Ice Surfing in primetime. It's going to be like the NFL Red Zone channel where they'll jump around the league and show highlights immediately after they happen. That'd be pretty cool. I'd like to have something like that here.
I don't know. I just always – I like the game center, and you're watching a game, and if it gets lame,
you move to another
one. Just click on to another one. So
yeah.
And they already kind of, I guess they already kind of have that even on the game center because they put indicators when something big has happened so you can scroll back and watch them too.
Really?
So,
yep. That's cool.
I like the game center a lot. That's why all this is just blah, blah, blah to me. It doesn't affect that at all.
Doesn't affect you at all.
Unless the price goes up.
Yeah.
For $150
well,
bucks.
Well, they did say set. Rogers, that's part of it. They actually will control the game center and all the online content and everything digital too is included in it. So
maybe it'll go down in price.
Don't count on that. Nothing goes down in price.
We'll see.
So what do you think happens to Hockey Night in Canada? I think for now, my guess is Rogers will keep Don Cherry. The big talk is, they might get rid of him. I don't see there's any way they're going to get rid of him, but I think they keep him, but because they have full editorial control over the content, will they force him to tone his act down a little bit, or will they let him keep being Don Cherry?
Don Cherry's set. I mean, what are they going to do? Don't say that, and then he says it. Then what are they going to do? Fire him, and then what does he do? Goes out and does spokesman jobs.
Elsewhere.
Yeah, and makes $100,000 per appearance.
Goes over to TSN and gives them.
And then doesn't he have to go back on TV? You can work the circuit and just go to schools and everywhere else and talk and blah, blah, blah. So,
yeah.
No.
There might be as much demand for him in Canada as there is for Brian Patafi and Evansville.
Yeah, easy. Brian Patafi's been out and about.
So the last question is, how will TSN respond? They still, it's not like they're going to go away. It's like ESPN here where they have the rights to a million different things. They have the CFL, including the Grey Cup, through 2018. They have curling through 2020, which is actually a big TV draw in Canada.
Yes, it is.
They have the World Junior.
Big TV draw here. My wife was trying to told me to figure out a way so she could watch the championship.
They have the World Junior Hockey Championship through 2023. They also show the NFL Sunday night and Monday night football games. They got the FIFA World Cup, MLS, NBA, NASCAR, Formula One, the tennis Grand Slams, the golf majors. So they're going to be fine. But the speculation is that they're going to keep some of their best on-air talent and then really ramp up the NHL analysis and also likely make a run at the major junior hockey.
Oh, cool.
Which would be cool for everyone in Canada. The Canadian Hockey League, which is the three junior leagues, the OHL, the WHL, and the QMJHL, they currently only have those select games and the Memorial Cup on Rogers, and their current TV deal ends after this season. So the thought is TSN will try to fill the NHL gap by going after the major junior and really putting together like a significant package.
I thought the last lockout was a big joke. I think you got a bunch of owners that don't know what the hell they're doing. And
I agree.
This is the last piece in the puzzle. I believe I predicted on this show that there will be a lockout in 4 years. And
you think before the CBA expires?
Oh, yeah.
Long before that?
Long before.
They'll see the trend of the cap going up, way up.
Yeah. I mean, it's
and
just...
say, wait a minute.
And they're... I mean, the owners are just dumb because I don't get it. You build a salary cap based percentage-wise on revenue. You have $5.2 billion coming in revenue, and all these owners are going to go buy islands in Tahiti or whatever.
Yeah.
And then 5 years from now, when they've got to pay Shea Weber $242 million just to reach the floor, they're going to say, this is not financially feasible. We need to get this back in line, and they're going to have a lockout. So these people just paid $5.2 million, and the next lockout is the one I think finishes off the NHL forever. I think it will splinter. I think it'll be the first major sport to fall apart.
Really?
Yep.
Do you think you'll see like a rival league develop and take over markets?
I think the next one will be the bad one that it'll just be so bad. I think you'll see the civil war among the owners.
Among the haves and have-nots.
Yep, of the owners. Huh. And so whether they join the AHL or start something else, so bring the WHL back. So, yep.
Interesting.
So I think I'd be surprised if 10 years from now we still have the NHL in this deal.
As it is currently constituted. Yes. Interesting. I do think... one of the things that I saw was that there was speculation that TSN would go after like the KHL. I wonder if this could lead to the KHL getting a little more of a foothold on TV in North America.
No, because I mean, until the whole thing blows up, I mean, these guys are going to be making third liners are going to be making $14 million a year to get to a $90 million salary cap. There's going to be so much money, so no one is going to be in the KHL anymore. You'll see Fedorov come back to play for that kind of money.
At the age of 47.
Kovalchuk will come back. So
you'll see that wave that went over there.
He'll
will
come back to New Jersey. Yeah.
Soupy with some foul language.
Yeah, but all those guys will come back. So that I think Major Junior will take over. I mean,
I think that's what...
Because Canadians are funny. They're funnier than Americans with this is all this money will get spent and then they'll be bitter because Phil Kessel's making $8 million a year and one shift he doesn't look like he's playing hard.
Yeah.
And they'll all go ballistic. And now these guys are going to be making $18
million,
$25 million a season?
I think as much as people talk about the big name players that are, you know, up in the $8, $9, $10 million range, the biggest thing that is the problem is when you are paying $5-6 million for a third line center. That's just ridiculous.
Yep.
And that's the kind of ridiculous spending is they spend on guys what they're hoping to get out of them, not what they're actually going to get out of them. Like if you need a top six center and there's not one available, you'll pay top six money to a guy who's a third liner.
Yeah.
And then you'll be shocked when he doesn't perform up to what his money indicates he should be performing.
Yep. And then you're also shocked when your locker room sucks because this guy's a jerk because he's a third liner and he's lazy.
And he's making $6 million.
Yeah, exactly. And he's making top six money. And then the one guy that works hard all the time and busts his butt, and he's nowhere near that. And everyone likes him in the room. And
he's a healthy scratch half the time. Yeah, and he's making $800,000.
Yeah, no one likes Ville Leino.
So do you think we'll ever see the AHL on TV in Canada? I saw they're apparently shown on ESPN America over in the UK. Hmm. They show the AHL because
they refused, ESPN America refused to pay the NHL for the rights. And they filled the holes, basically, with AHL hockey.
No, just because you don't have a lot of, obviously you have a lot of Canadians playing in the league, but you don't have
no teams.
No, right.
Right. There's
so
only
no major,
St. John's and
Major Junior, that's
Hamilton.
Where it's at. They'll just, they'll pump that league up and, yeah. and they already
well,
love that.
And there's a lot of talk that I saw that TSN is one of the major reasons why the World Junior Championships are as big as they are now, because they've pimped it like crazy over the last decade or so, even though they haven't had the coverage all the time. They've really made a big deal out of it, and it's made it more than it used to be. And they could do the same thing with Major Junior in general.
So yeah, I that's where I think they'll go with it, and I think they'll get a lot of people to watch because people just get burnt out. I mean, shoot, Leaf fans are already we're calling this Deathcember. This is the end of our season. It's Deathcember, and when this team is spending up to $90 million and still missing the playoffs every year,
oh.
people. No, we never said that. I don't know where that came from.
I think, I don't know, you might have said something along those lines.
No, like I said Clarkson. I loved the guy. I said he was the reincarnation of Wendell Clark, but I never expected. I didn't think the franchise needed to be saved. I really don't know what's going on. I thought we were playing some pretty good high. I don't know what's going on with the Leafs. But regardless,
they're the Leafs.
Regardless, yeah, when people are they're spending $90 million, people will watch the London Knights and the OHL teams
yeah.
before they watch the Leafs anymore. So
yeah,
this will be the one that they. This is going to be the one that'll price all the fan base right out of the market.
Yeah, I don't know that people here in the States fully grasp just how big Major Junior is in Canada.
Yep.
It is enormous. It's not looked at as amateur hockey and 18-year-old kids because
no.
it's an enormous business. And we talked about the teddy bear toss. The Calgary Hitmen drew 25,000 teddy bears. That's a Major Junior team. That's not a professional hockey team. That's a Major Junior team. And that's the kind of support and passion that is all over Canada for Major Junior hockey. So it's an enormous thing. And it stunned me when I was looking into the research for the page of notes that you tuned out that there isn't a major TV deal in Canada for the Canadian Hockey League. That Rogers shows a few games here and there during the regular season, and then they show the tournament at the end, and that's it. Like, I couldn't believe that someone hadn't already ponied up a lot of money to have a significant package where you have, you know, a couple nights a week where there's a game every week and select games here and there otherwise.
Yeah, but I think part of that, too, is just like the ECHL, a lot of those teams are in smaller towns, smaller markets,
yeah.
and so 8,000 people go to the game, you know, because, and that's how big the town is. So
right.
the whole town goes to the game. Well, when that team is on the road, you're going to watch the Leafs, you're going to watch the Canadians
yeah.
because, oh, yeah, they're not home. And then Saturday night rolls around and they're back in town. You're not going to watch TV. You're actually going to go to the arena
right.
and the whole town goes to the, I mean, I think some of those places got to have 75% of their population is
in
that
building
on
right.
Saturday night. So I don't think the TV is that important. Just like the ECHL. I mean, I'm glad people watch us on America One and everything else, but I never did. I mean, I listened to some of the games on the radio, but a lot of times, you know, Saturday night I went to the Ford Center. I watched a game. I was the official scorer. Tuesday night, Icemen are on the road. The Leafs are on TV. I'd watch my games on it. I'd watch the Leafs. So
yeah.
I think that's the same with
well,
Major Junior.
I'm the same way. Even with doing this show and never having missed a single home game in the history of the franchise, I would love, in a perfect world, I would have nothing to do, and I would sit down and I would listen to every away game broadcast you do. But there's just too much stuff going
yep.
on that you just don't have time to.
Yeah.
And no matter how passionate you are about it, there's a limit to how much you can devote to any one thing before you end up that's the only thing you're
yeah.
doing.
I think this deal will be the piece that destroys the NHL in that sense that people just aren't going to want to watch these multimillionaires anymore. And that's what I think is the difference is people will say, you know, I'd rather watch these kids in Major Junior making $50 a week and going to school and 16 and 17 years old. And what'll be interesting is, see, the NHL has a deal with Major Junior that when a guy gets drafted, he has to stay on your team. you can't send him to the AHL to develop.
Right.
He has to go back down to juniors, and that's to keep the Sidney Crosbys and the Joe Thorntons and the Nazem Kadris and everything else. If you're not committing to paying him millions of dollars to play on your team, then he's got to go back to junior so that all these small little towns can still watch him,
right,
and people can enjoy watching him until he's of age.
Right, and that helps the whole system.
Yes, it does help. Now, when Rogers pays $5.2 billion, are they going to want that rule change? Are they going to want the Sidney Crosby? I forget the new kid, the David kid, that he's 16 years old. He's already got 40 points in 15 games or something like that. He is the phenom. And
the phenom?
Yeah. He is the phenom.
Not phenom.
No, he's not a phenom. He's the phenom.
Wait till he debuts in the NHL. Yeah. It's going to be awesome.
But are they going to say, you know, we need to change this rule? We didn't spend $5.2 million to have this 17-year-old kid get drafted, obviously first overall in the NHL, and then not come and play because of some rule with the with Major Junior. So you could see all kinds of stuff going on.
Yeah.
It's going to get crazy.
Yeah, it really does worry me. I saw there was one of the it might have been one of the Toronto newspapers had a letter to the editor where someone was suggesting that they just break off, that you form a separate rival league, basically, because the NHL is out of control.
Yep.
And I wonder, you know, that's been tried in the past. The WHA didn't work out so well. But in this kind of environment, you wonder if there is room for that, because there's limitations that were in place then that aren't now, that you could, in theory, put teams in enough major markets and there are enough different options out there TV-wise that you could get eyeballs.
Yep.
And if you put together a rival league, one of the networks that doesn't have, you know, TSN would go after the rights in Canada, and Fox Sports 1 would go after the rights in the U.S., and you would have that outlet to help build that wasn't there when the WHA was trying to get going without a TV deal anywhere.
I just think it's, you brought it up, and it just doesn't make any sense to me that a salary cap based on revenue doesn't work. And you look at this, $90 million is going to be the salary cap. Toronto will spend up to it. The Rangers will spend up to it. Detroit will spend up to it. Mm-hmm. You know that. Nashville's not spending to that floor. They're not spending the $65
million. No, they can't. Phoenix they had trouble is not getting to where they are this year.
Even Canadian teams. Edmonton, Winnipeg is not spending the $65 million.
No.
It's not feasible. And but it doesn't make any sense. Where does all the money go? If it's based on revenue, how does the money not go right back in? And it's even a percentage. It's not like 100% of that $5.2 million goes right to the players' pockets.
Right.
It's still based on a percentage, but it doesn't ever get there.
Well, it's a 50-50 split now.
Yep.
The salary cap is supposed to be 50% of overall hockey-related revenue. So if the owners during the last lockout were so adamant about for this to be a sustainable business model, it has to be 50%. We can't give you any more than 50%. Yep. All right, well, now you got 50%. That's your sustainable business model. And then 5 years later, through stupid spending, you're going to say it's not a sustainable business model anymore.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's not the player's
after
fault.
You've made $5.2 billion.
Yeah, exactly.
But and so
I think I could make $5.2 billion go a little ways, don't you?
Maybe, I guess. No, probably not. I'd spend it all on whores and baubles. It's going to get to a point that the league will not be sustainable. I mean, you're going to lose Florida. You're going to lose Carolina. You're going to lose Nashville. Columbus is not going to pay $65 million every year, and then remember that's the floor.
Yeah.
That means you're spending $65 million a year, and you're not competitive.
Right. Yeah, you're at the bottom of
yes.
the league,
and so you can see where they're going to splinter off, and they're going to put their own thing together, where they're going to put the max of the cap at 40 and the minimum at 20, and they can put a 12-team league together really easy.
I wonder,
Nashville, Carolina, two Florida teams, Dallas.
Yeah.
Phoenix,
Columbus.
And that's not bad travel. That's pretty much the ECHL right there.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
and you could add, in theory, teams in like Houston, Kansas City,
yep,
where the NHL has resisted going to for whatever reason. Some major league size markets that don't have teams. They'd probably give Atlanta another whirl.
Yep, it's possible.
With a lower cap, yep. Atlanta might work with a lower cap. And lower ticket prices, therefore.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. I was convinced when they announced the CBA that we would have another lockout at the end of the CBA.
Yeah.
But the more I think about it, the more you talk about it, the more I read about it, I'm worried, too, that we're not going to make it to the end of the CBA before there's another lockout. And Lord knows what the NHL is going to look like on the other side.
Yep.
So.
Good thing we got the Iceman.
Took a long way to get there, but that's why the Canadian TV deal is big news.
I think we could have done it in four lines.
Yeah, maybe so.
Maybe so.
But
it's overtime.
We can go as long as we want.
And it's not sudden death.
No.
Nope. Is that it? Are we done?
I think so.
All right. Thank goodness. You are listening to Overtime with Michael Shockley on The Wired.
Not really.
Music. Oh, that's right. Podcast-only version.
Yeah.
I don't even need to say
that. It's a music bomb.
You are listening to Michael Shockley and the Dirty D on the podcast. Music bomb style. Good night.
See ya.
The puck is in. The home team wins the good old hockey game.